Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. Getaway Friday, February the 26th, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Guess what this is? The last Friday in the month of February. Next Friday, we will be in the month of March. A matter of fact, Monday, we will be in the month of March. So this is the last program we will do. The last day of programming on this station that is in the month of February. So get ready for March. We have made it through the two worst weather months of the year, January and February. Now, I've got a lot to talk about this morning, and we've really got no guest here, so it'll be me and you on the toll-free line this morning. So I certainly do hope you participate at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'll have some family feud later on this morning, which I know everybody enjoys participating in. The pastor spot will be on later on, 11 o'clock, with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the exchange club will be on today from 12 to 1. And we'll see how that all goes as the morning shakes out. Now, there's a lot of stuff, as I say, I want to talk about this morning. And always feel free to interrupt me if there's something you want to comment on or bring up yourself. And today is the day of the Mr. Potato Head controversy. And if you have not heard about this, and if you haven't, I find that hard to believe because it's been everywhere in the last 24 hours. We're going to talk about this, but we're going to talk about it in a little different way here this morning, because I've read the whole story, and to be honest with you, I don't make heads or tails. I can't make heads or tails either way of why people are so upset about this. Now, maybe you'll be able to tell me why people are so upset about this, but the headline is a little different than the story. So why this thing has gotten so blown up, I have no idea. But we'll get to it as the morning goes on. And if you haven't heard about the Mr. Potato Head controversy, we will, I'll fill you in as the morning goes on. But there are a few things before that I'd like to talk about. Turning to news here, local news here this morning. As I told you on my birthday, I got a Google Nest, is what it's called, N-E-S-T. Now, this is the Google version of Alexa, pretty much. Instead of saying, Alexa, do this, Alexa, do that, you say, hey, Google, and then you command it what to do. Now, I got this Wednesday night as a birthday gift. So Wednesday night, I really did not have the chance to even get it out of the box. So last night, Angie was over, and we got it out of the box and decided we were going to set up this thing because we had some time last night. And let me tell you, I could plug it in. I could get it out of the box, and I could plug it in. And I could get on the cell phone and download the app. But there is so much you have to go through to set this thing up. I mean, you really have to be, a whiz at German philosophy to be able to get through this whole process. But I did. I did get it set up. It's recognizing my voice. It's talking to me. It's doing all those great things. Now, once it was set up, which took about an hour, I was just so impressed with this thing, and I really have not had a chance to play with it very much since last night because we set it up kind of late. But I can't wait to get home and play around with this more, because I'm more fascinated with it than I thought I would be. Earlier this year, as you've heard me say on this show, I really wanted one of these things because I thought it would be a good idea. It just seemed like a neat thing to have around the house and play around with. And now that I have one, I think I'm more enamored with it than I was. I'm more enamored with actually having it than the idea of having it. I found it so cool that I can just say, "Hey Google, what's the weather?" And it already knows that I'm in Marion, Ohio, and it tells me the weather for Marion, Ohio. "Hey Google, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow?" Tells me the weather. "Hey Google, who's the 30th president of the United States?" From whitehouse.gov, and it told me who the 30th president of the United States was and asked me if I wanted to know more information. Now, here, there is only one problem with it, and maybe you can help me figure this out, because I'm now a novice with this. I'm not even 24 hours into this. Here's where the problem came. I cannot play a song. Like, for example, if I say, "Google, play Tossin' and Turnin'," it won't do that because I don't have, what it says is, I don't have the Google premium membership to YouTube, is what it says. So I can't play that song directly. But if I say, "Google, hey Google, play oldies," it will bring up an oldies station on YouTube and just play oldies songs over and older and older. And you can even pick very obscure things. You can say, "Hey Google, play 90s country," and it will create a playlist and just play it over and over and over and over. So that's a little glitch that I need to figure out. Do I have to download, do I have to pay to get this music service? Because I'm not sure that I would pay to get the music service, because I can call up just about any music I want. I guess I just can't call it up by song title because I don't have the YouTube premium membership. Now, the other big glitch in this, now this is the glitch that bothers me more than anything else. Obviously, one of the things I wanted to try was pulling up this station. Why wouldn't you? So, I said, "Hey Google, play WWGH." And it brings up something from NPR. It said, "Playing WBN or something from NPR." And I did this like three times. And I thought, oh my goodness, why isn't it finding WWGH? This doesn't make any sense to me. It should be findable because we are on TuneIn. And I noticed that when I was calling up WWGH and it was giving me this NPR station, that it was pulling it from TuneIn. So I'm thinking, now if I have access to TuneIn, which I know we are, that's a place where we are, why is it not pulling us up, but it's pulling this other station? So Angie suggested to me, well, why don't you just say the numbers, 107.1 FM? So I did. I said, "Hey Google, play 107.1 FM. And then it comes up and says, "Now playing WWGH 107.1 FM from TuneIn." So it plays it. So I'm not sure why that is. So has anybody ever had a problem like that? And I assume the Alexas probably work very similarly. So my two questions this morning about this are, number one, why do you think it's not recognizing WWGH when I say it? But it does recognize 107.1 FM, and WWGH is in there because when I say play 107.1 FM, it says playing WWGH. So I don't understand that. And number two, to play music by song title, do you have to download this YouTube service that is, it's not costly, but I just don't know that I would use it a whole lot since I'm already playing music through the free service. Just can't pick it by song. So, does anybody have the answers or thoughts on these questions? A nice tech question here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Then I was going to try to link up my television with this thing, and the process behind that, holy mackerel, you would have needed a rocket scientist to come over to try to link these things up. So I didn't even get into that last night. I thought there's not even time to get into this. Now, one of the other interesting things was setting a timer. I found that fascinating because it wanted you to set a timer. What time do you want to wake up in the morning? And you give it the time, and then it sets the alarm. But here's the thing about it. It did not ask me what the alarm sound would be. Because you know some alarm sounds are very shrill, and then some alarm sounds are fine. So, I did not set the alarm for this reason. Because I don't know what the noise would be. But I like that you can control the volume. You know, hey Google, drop the volume to 50%. And it does that. That's great. That's technology. Can you imagine people who were born 100 years ago, what they would have thought of this technology? I just think stuff like that's fascinating. And it answers anything. Anything that's on Google, it can pull an answer. So it's just a very interesting, neat tool to have around. Very, very good. Now, the other thing in regard to this is when I was trying to shut it off last night, what it wanted to do was go to sleep. I think I might have even said the term sleep, which was the wrong term. I should have just said shut down. So when I said go to sleep, it started playing like sounds in the forest, like crickets and chirping, and running water, and creeks, and things like that. But then I eventually got it shut down, so we got past all that. But if anybody has the answers, or if anybody knows what these things are good for beyond the information, the radio stations, the music, the weather, the timers, let me know. What do you use yours for most? I think I'm just learning to use this. I think it's great. It's all hooked up at home. It's all configured, so I can use it. But I'm finding things that I can do with it that I did not know heretofore that I could do, which it's just great. To be able to say pull up a radio station, any radio station in the world, and it's right there, and you don't even have to touch anything. That's progress by any stretch of the imagination. You know, has anybody ever thought what their grandparents or their great-grandparents would have thought of stuff like this? I often wonder what they would have thought living in a world where things like this exist. We just think of it as another thing now. But I think they would have thought of it as men walking on the moon. You know, people used to have to go out and buy a radio and plug it in, and you had to find a socket in the wall that would support it. Then you had to tune the radio to get the right station in, and sometimes you had to mess with the antenna to make it come in clearer. Now, you just plug the thing in, say the word, and there it is, and you can get any radio station in the world. Back then, you could only get what was in your area. I just think technology has progressed at such a warp speed that it's really unbelievable. And a lot of times it makes me think about medicine. And, you know, I really do believe if technology keeps going at the warp speed, increasing at the warp speed that it is, that medicine is going to increase at that warp speed as well, and hopefully a lot of illnesses will be knocked by the wayside because of it. That's what I hope. But any thoughts on any of this or anything else on your mind, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Certainly enjoy hearing from you, 740-383-9944. Now, I got to tell you, as again, another birthday throwback here from Wednesday, that on my birthday, I was given a lemon dessert from Mr. and Mrs. Shirk. And I tried a little bit of it on my birthday because there was a lot of stuff on my birthday that I had. I had strawberry shortcake and I had carrot cake and I just had a lot of stuff. Well, last night I got a little deeper into the lemon dessert. And boy, was this stuff really, really good. I don't know why I appreciated it more last night than I did the night before, but it was almost hard to stop eating it because lemon pie is very tangy, which I like the tanginess of a lemon pie because I like lemon. But this dessert is lemon, but it doesn't have that bitter, tangy taste. It's very mild as far as that goes. So this dessert, I really, really, really do appreciate that Mrs. Shirk took the time to make this because everybody who has sampled it has enjoyed it. It's and I'm not sure where the recipe comes from or how it's made or why it tastes so differently than a lemon pie. But it is very, very good. So I want to mention that again because, you know, sometimes you expect one thing. And biting into it, I expected something very similar to a lemon meringue pie or a lemon pie or even lemon pudding or lemon jello, you know, something like that. But it really did not come out that way. It is much more of a, you know, subdued taste, which is good. It almost tastes to me more like a pudding, more like tastes more like a pudding, kind of like a cheesecake, not as thick or heavy as a cheesecake, but more in that vein. And it's very good. So I wanted to thank them again for that, and everybody who has sampled it, including myself, has really enjoyed that. So thanks for that. Now, we had a gentleman come in when I went off the air yesterday. I believe it was a Mr. Hunt was the gentleman's name. And he had brought in an old-fashioned looking microphone up here, which I always appreciate things like that. We decorate the studio with stuff like that. It's always very interesting. It used to be a radio, I think, and it's just got a neat look to it. So he brought this up and also said at one point, maybe next week, he has a book on the Isley family. Now, we, of course, have talked about the Isley family over and over and over on this show and the Isley restaurants that were here in town. And we had a nice little conversation about that. And he said at some point he would bring up this book on the Isley family next week. And I'll look forward to that. And when it comes, I'm sure we'll talk about that on the air. But, you know, it always makes me think, because I was just at the Marion Flea Market a couple weekends ago. Why does the Isley family hold up? Or maybe it's not even the family. Maybe it's just the products, because the flea market has the Isley chipped ham. Now, why is that? Is it the name or is it the ham? I always wonder, if you took the name off the ham, would as many people buy the ham? And I often think about the ice cream that way, too. If you took the name off the ice cream, would as many people buy it? I don't know. But there's just a special feeling about the Isleys and the Isley shops and the Isley ice cream and the Isley chipped ham. And maybe it's because there were three restaurants here in Marion at one time, and maybe it's because it was an Ohio thing. I don't know. I don't know if other states have the same feeling about the Isley shop or the Isleys, or the Isley ice cream, or Isley chipped ham that we do. Does anybody have any idea why that was such a special thing? What was it about the Isley shop, the Isley family, the Isley food that was so different that we still hold it in special regard. There are a lot of things from that time period, 1980s and before, that we do not hold as high as we hold the Isley name and family. And it's, I don't know why. I'm not sure exactly why that is. If anybody has any thoughts on that, that's also something we can toss out there this morning. 740-383-9944. Now, also this gentleman who came in, I believe his name was Mr. Hunt, he talked about this restaurant that we have talked about on the air here that looks to be opening at some point out on Route 4. I don't want to say the exact place because, to be honest with you, I'm not really even sure where it exactly is. Now, I kind of have an idea of where it is, but I've never really been out there recently to look at this. But he said it's, I believe, going to be owned by the former owner of the warehouse restaurant here in Marion, and that they were going to kind of deal, and I hope I'm not misquoting him here, that they're going to kind of deal in a, I think he said, some kind of a beef sandwich. Not a hamburger joint or anything like that. Kind of a beef sandwich. Now, has anybody heard any more about this place out on Route 4, and I believe it's on the southern end of Route 4, where they have a sign up and something about coming soon, but I don't believe they are open yet. So, does anybody have any more information on this? And if Mr. Hunt is out there listening, who came in yesterday, am I repeating this story correctly? I guess is what we want to say. Am I on the right track with this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So what about the restaurant out on Route 4? Do you know what's going on there, when they might open? What kind of food will they be selling? What do you make of the Google Nests or the Alexas or anything of that nature? What's your feeling on the Isley family? Why does that hold up, and why does their food hold up all these many years later? If anybody has any thoughts on any of these subjects or anything else, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here this morning, and we can discuss it. Now, as I was driving in this morning, and I'm sure as a lot of you do, you listen to the... Oh, we're getting a call here. We might come back to this momentarily. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Well, Isley was a brand that had been around since the 1940s. And when anybody ever talked about Isley's, it was, you got a good feeling because you knew you were going to get a quality product. So that's basically what I think about it. And now you hear Isley Chipped Ham, and everybody remembers how good Isley Chipped Ham was. And that's why it's held up.
But don't you think it's...
Brand.
Yeah, well, yeah, but don't you think it's kind of interesting that it hasn't even been around for 100 years, as you said, 1940s, and there are other things from that era that I think people thought were quality products, but they don't hold up as well as that. You'd be very hard-pressed to find somebody who did not know the name Isley, and I don't know if it's treated that way in other parts of the country.
Well, Isley's is still a going concern. They're up in northern Ohio, I think it is, Youngstown, up in that area.
Well, what do they do up there?
I assume they still do dairy products, milk, and that kind of stuff. They don't come down this far.
You know, I was often thinking, because, you know, obviously their most famous product was the Klondike bar, but...
Oh, yeah.
Is the ice cream in the Klondike bar still made by... Is there any Isley ice cream now?
I don't know. You'd have to Google that to see.
Because I'm almost positive that the Klondike company is not owned by the Isleys.
I don't think it gets sold.
Yeah, so I don't know. I always wonder why it has such a special feel, that particular...
It's a mystique.
Well, it is, but, you know, why did it end? Why did it all eventually peter out?
People, probably. Because you had one gentleman, Angelo Doria, he was a mainstay. He was with Isley's forever until they left.
I don't know. It's always been fascinating to me because people find that's one of those things in Marian history that people always want to refer back to, much like the Crystal Lake Amusement Park and roller rinks. It's just one of those things that people love to talk. That and the LNK. Those are the two.
We're all nostalgic. That's why.
Yeah, but do we want that time back, really? Because
we just want to remember it.
We just want to remember it. So
yeah.
I guess, so we just like to talk about it.
When you talk about the good old days, were they really the good old days? As they get farther and farther and behind you, they get better.
Well, you know, but why is that? Is that rose-colored glasses? See,
probably.
I don't know.
Probably.
Well, because...
Like I said, we're all nostalgic.
Well, you would have to look. Like anybody here in Marion who's been here a long time, I think you would look back at the 50s, 60s, 70s, and into the early 80s. There were a lot of things going on, you know, union strikes and plants closing and people you look... I would think that would not be a very happy time to look back on.
I used to work with a fella, and he would always talk about his high school sports days. And I told him one time, I says, "You're a legend in your own mind." Because every time you tell the story, it gets better.
Well, you know, that's the thing, too. I often worry about that, because when people recount stories that are personal stories, they do change, because most people do not have a photographic memory.
That's right. That's right.
And how close are they to what actually happened? We really don't know.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting perspective. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
And again, phone lines are open. If you get the busy signal, it just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know, what is your opinion on why the Isley shop is held in high regard? Now, again, we could put other things in there, like the LNK restaurants. And... the power shovel is also held in very high regard. Now, I'm assuming that's probably because of a lot of jobs at that particular time. But now, I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was at the Isley auction when they auctioned off the last restaurant there on 95.
Oh, okay.
And... what I take is his kids did not want to take it over.
Yeah, there was something going on there. I believe that the car lot did want the space. I think there was an offer made on the land, if I remember right. Or not the car lot. The drugstore ended up going there, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the drugstore. And I'm not really sure what happened. Now, people claim that it was very busy, but you know what? I lived here during that time, and to be honest, you know, all the restaurants on 95, you know, you had Perkins, Bob Evans had opened up by that point, and I'm really not sure how busy it was anymore.
Well, I don't know. I didn't go there too often, but...
Well, and I think that's most people's... remember it. I don't think it was any longer a hugely successful business.
I just wonder if Isley's name is big in other states, or is it just around here? You know, the Isley chipped ham. Can you buy that in Texas? Or
well, that's what I wonder, because obviously, as I said, their biggest item is the Klondike bar, which does say, it still does say Isley on the wrapper, but nobody ever refers to it as Isley's Klondike, and I'm sure that people who are eating Klondikes in California have no idea what...
Isley, family, yeah, where it comes from.
Right. So I don't know if that was a very Ohio thing. And I also wonder why the business stopped being fruitful, because I believe they had three locations in Marion at one point. What happened that people decided to stop going? Because clearly they were a chain, they were very successful, they had a national product. I wonder what the fall there was. And I'm not even sure, I mean, ice cream obviously was big, but if you went in there for a meal, what did you order? What kind of stuff did they sell?
Oh, they sold a variety of everything. Pies and stuff like that was, you know, one of their big things.
Well, I wonder, was the food good?
Yeah. Yeah, they had good food, you know. It was better than the typical fast food, you know what I'm saying?
Now, do you think the price point was good?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Because I know a lot of times that'll change people's mind.
Yeah, that can put you out. I wonder how... If the other caller said there's Isley's up around Youngstown stuff, I wonder how connected they were to the family here in Marion.
You know, I don't know. The family, it was my understanding that there was a couple of branches of this Isley family, and I don't know how the splinter happened, and I don't know who ran what. I don't know. It's a very... And I'm sure this book that this Mr. Hunt has tells this whole story, but I don't know much about that. And I'm not sure why all the locations got closed, except for that one on 95.
And when you talk about the L&K's, they used to do the Denny's.
Well, yeah, that was the... Now, we went through this on the air at one point, but, you know, I think it was called the Royal Buffet, where Denny's is now.
I don't know, but, you know, the L&K company operated the Denny's. I remember L&K out there on Delaware Avenue. And we used to always go in there and get a bucket of perch.
Now, where do you remember that at? There was a lot of question about where the L&K was on Delaware Avenue.
Right there beside the old Holiday Inn, where the Honda dealership and the Acura dealership and stuff was that. It was right there.
So the car lot took that spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, about what year do you think that was?
That was probably in the 70s.
Now, the last L&K in Marion, where was it at?
Well, I think that was the last one on Delaware Avenue.
That was the last one. Now, the one, there was also, we had a big question on this show about this. The L&K, was there an L&K where Aldi is?
I'm not sure about that. I can't say.
See, I don't remember that either. I remember there being an L&K on Delaware Avenue, and I remember... I think I do remember the Royal Buffet where Denny's was, but I do not remember an L&K out there.
I don't really remember the other locations myself.
Well, to me, it would just be odd at that time because there wasn't a lot of development out there in that area at that time, and I can't imagine why they would build a restaurant and why you would have two restaurants on the same road. Why would, I mean, within a mile of each other.
I remember when Campus Pizza Chef was out there, and that was out there in no man's land.
Well, you know, I remember the Big Pizza Chef that is where the auto parts store is now on Mount Vernon there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could never understand why that closed. It always seemed, you know, all the bowling leagues and all the Cub Scout groups and all the schools would have big parties there because it was a big room. But I just could not hold up. I don't know if it was a decision by the owners to shut it down or if they weren't making enough money. I don't know what happened.
Well, he did other things after they shut that Campus Pizza Chef down.
Now, what did he do after that?
You know that car wash out there on 95? That one you drive through?
Yeah.
He built that.
Now, what was his name?
Oh, God. I knew he was going to ask me that. I can't remember his name. And his boy used to have a pizza shop here on Bell Fountain Avenue. He had the upside-down pizza where they put the sauce on top and
Now, was it the same Pizza Chef?
No.
So that recipe kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, I believe.
Well, see, I don't know. I don't know why certain... Because, you know, when I look back at the Power Shovel, and I look back at Tecumseh, and I look back at places like that, it would seem to me that a lot of that would not be happy times. There were union fights, union strikes, people got beat up. These places eventually left town. I don't know why they're so nostalgic.
Well, a lot of people remember, and it was a big part of Marion.
Oh, we're getting a message online here. Was it Dick Warwick over at Pizza
Chef?
Yeah,
Dick Warwick. That was his name.
Dick Warwick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he's still around.
I don't know. But I don't think he's living around here anymore.
It seems
to me he moved somewhere.
Well, you know, hopefully he's doing well if he's still...
He's starting to get up there if he's still around.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we hope he's still around, but it's an interesting thing on why these things are looked back in the way they are. But certainly thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open. If you're getting the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any of this history, give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. It's always interesting to talk about these old haunts in Marion because they are looked back on very well. But why is that? Go ahead, caller.
PLK used to be where America's Best Value Inn is.
Yeah. Now, see, that's a whole nother... Out on 95?
Yep. Yeah. It used to be the LK. And there was a small restaurant, and they had the peanut parlor there.
Now, see, here's a whole nother... Well, first of all, before we get to the peanut parlor, why... Okay, was it the LK or the LNK?
The LK offices were on LNK Drive, which is off Executive Drive.
Now, see, people have told me that they were called...
The LK Motor Inn, Motor Lodge, something or other like that.
So the restaurant itself was not called LNK. It was just called LK.
Now, you know what it stands for, don't you?
Ludwig Kibbe.
Yeah, Ludwig and Kibbe.
Right.
And in the Marion Chamber of Commerce directory, I believe there's still a listing for LK. LNK, LN, whatever K. I remember going through it. So there's a Ludwig, I believe, still in town, and they do property development.
Well, I just wonder, so what was the peanut parlor?
The peanut parlor was where, well, when I was in high school and the drinking age was 18, a lot of people would go out there, all the free peanuts. That was the whole thing. You'd walk in and you'd walk on peanut shells. It was a watering hole. So you could go in there, and then it was a motor lodge. Really, that's, from what I recall, that's all it was. You just had the peanut parlor there, and then the rest was a motel.
So have you heard anything about this this restaurant out on Route 4?
Restaurant on Route 4?
Yeah, we got a call, it's probably been a month and a half ago, and this Mr. Hunt who came in yesterday brought this up, that there's a restaurant out on, I believe it's out in the neighborhood of where McKaylee's used to be. And there's a sign out there, something about opening soon, but nobody really knows anything.
Oh, just south of Barks Road.
Yeah.
Where McKaylee's, well, that all burnt down. Wasn't that one of the councilman's, Norris? That was that Norris fellow's bar after McKaylee sold it.
Well, I think that's gone, but I think there's another place out there where this was, where there was just a sign in the yard that said opening soon, but it never has opened. Now, we never knew if that was because of the pandemic or because things weren't just ready to go, and really, there's not been much of a story on it, but this Mr. Hunt who came in yesterday said, he gave me a little bit of the story on it, that the gentleman who owned the white warehouse
apparently owns this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I'm trying
to...
Yeah, he did tell me what the type of food that they were going to sell was going to be, but I can't remember. It wasn't roast beef, but it was something like that. It was not hamburgers or hot dogs or anything like that. It was a different type of thing.
Hmm. Monkey brain on a stick?
I don't know. You know, I just wonder, is that going to be a location where there's a lot of business? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like further down the road, what is it, the White Swan?
Yeah.
Familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
That's an out-of-the-way place. I don't know even if they're even still open.
Well, yeah, and I'm not... most things out there are not, except that gas station. Isn't there a Moto Mart out there?
Oh, it's Quarter Barks Road and Prospect Street.
Yeah.
Route 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. And then beyond there, all you have is, what is it, the Trotters Club or Regulators that Cal Lamb had. And Jerry's Nightclub used to be out there with that burnt down years ago.
I think the Star Lanes building's out there.
You know, that's a rotten shame, Star Lanes. Gee whiz, that was a really nice bowling alley.
Yeah, it's just sits out there abandoned. I would hate to see at this point what the inside of that building looks like.
Well, it depends on, you know, what they did with it. If they were smart, they would have sold the wood to another place to make a bowling alley. But, you know, you mentioned where the Pizza Chef used to be. Well, before it was the Campus Pizza Chef, it was the Micro Raceway. They had slot cars there. 1/24th scale slot cars. Now, this was in the mid-60s. So, that's something... Anybody in Marion, listen. Start a micro raceway. Slot cars. Like what we had in the 60s. We used to have the Color Center on Center Street. Used to sell model cars and slot cars. And then there was Lush Hobbies out on Bennett Street. And... I remember getting a slot car at Murphy's down in the basement.
Huh. Well, it's so, certainly, it's a lot to think about in those days.
Well, there's a lot. And I'm sure a lot of people have pictures. It would be nice. I guess growing up in Marion, they put a lot of those pictures in from when back in the 50s and 60s. So, but I'm just kind of curious. So somebody's supposed to be opening up a restaurant?
Yeah, and maybe somebody will call. I know it was one of our listeners, well, two of them. The initial call about it even being there came from one of our listeners, and then the gentleman yesterday who came in, who brought the microphone and was talking about the Isley shop, he seemed to have a lot more information on that as well. So maybe one of them will call in and fill us in.
I vaguely remember having lunch, I think it was, at the Isley shop in downtown Marion. And if I recall, it was where Turner Hardware used to be. So...
Well, if we get any information on this, hopefully we get some information on this place out on Route 4.
Okay. Did you, with all of your birthday stuff, all the cakes, the cookies, and all of that stuff, do you need a vial of insulin?
Not yet. I think I've staggered it enough to be okay.
Well, that's good.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. Does anybody know about this place on Route 4? Because clearly I am just not versed in this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that restaurant out there on Route 4 he's talking about, that's the old third base drive-thru.
Oh, the old third. So what does it say out there at this point? Is it open yet?
Hasn't opened, you know, that I know, but that's been going on for 2.5 years or so.
Right, so do we know, I was told yesterday that it's, you know, owned by the same guy who owned the warehouse.
Yeah, and I heard he's going to have barbecue.
Oh, barbecue, maybe that's
it's
what I heard.
It's going to be a barbecue place.
Okay, maybe it's a barbecue place.
But, me and my brothers talked about it, and you know, this has been going on for years now. they work on it, and then it sets and sets, and then they, you might see something happen, and months go by, and why it ain't open, you know, beyond me.
Well, maybe we'll figure it out from a listener this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Out where the old third base drive through was on Route 4 is where, and apparently this has been going on for a couple years now. Now we have the type of food, and I think I do remember that yesterday when Mr. Hunt was in here talking about barbecue. But what's going on and what it has to do with anything, we really don't know at this particular point. Let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're talking about Isley's. My first job I ever had in 1943 was at the Isley store on East Center Street. And it was just west of the new building and facility that they built there on East Center Street, which is now the water company.
Now, was it good food?
Beg your pardon?
Was the food good?
Oh, the food was good. There was a lady named Lil Snyder ran the restaurant part there. And my friend and I went to Vernon Junior High School, and he worked there, and he got me a job there. And we went in on Saturday mornings and cleaned the whole restaurant area and deli area. And then the rest of the week we would work the deli counter and dip those special ice cream cones that they used to make there.
Now, how busy were they?
Oh, that was a busy place back in those days.
Huh. Well, hey.
This was in 1943.
Well, we got a break, but hey, stay tuned and thank you for calling.
Okay, take care now.
Bye.
We got a break, but stay tuned. Stay next to your phone. We'll be back after news and weather in 15 minutes. Much more memories of a lot of stuff here. Stay tuned.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by Sir WWGH Marion, Ohio.